And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, coastweekend.org. What did I just say? Coastradio.org. Wherever you are in the world. Yes, Boudelier's Point furiously doing what I'm supposed to be doing right now, too. Happy day. Good luck. It's 70 degrees here in the Columbia Pacific region, or at least in Astoria. It is gorgeous. Blue sky. Light, light breeze. Anything else happening with the weather? Partly sunny. Highs near 66. We'd beat that one. So there'll be clouds and lots of sun in these summer days here in the region. Hey, before I forget, today is KMUN Day on Radio Free America. You can visit our website, coastradio.org, and click on Archives on the Listen menu. That'll take you straight to the KMUN page at Radio Free America, where your favorite shows, and everybody else's favorite shows too, are available for 2 weeks after broadcast. And today, KMUN is the featured radio station. Check it out at coastradio.org. Listen, archives. So if that was too formulaic, if you liked a show that you heard this past week or the week before, do what I just said, and you can find that show and listen to it. But it's only posted for 2 weeks, so jump on it right now. And right now is 3 p.m. on July 21st, 2017, and it is time for Arts Live and Local. This is Carol, your host. It's another crazy, wonderful, crazy weekend. And I'm going to start right off with some music from Adams and Costello, because they are playing for the, as part of the Manzanita Music Festival. And you'll be hearing more about that in a little bit. It's happening. It starts at 5 o'clock in 2 hours, and it goes all the way through Sunday evening. So check it out. And here's Adams and Costello with, very appropriately, Sunny Day.
Sunny day will kill you slowly. Let the rain come pouring down. I built a boat in the desert, and I dream of storm clouds. Winds from kill slowly after your meltdown. Next to you, my love's a peasant in a soup kitchen downtown. Love and respect not always present, neither lost nor found. Thank you. funny, they will kill you slowly. Let the rain come pouring down. Let the rain come pouring down. Let the rain come pouring down.
Well, that took me by surprise, but Sunny Days, apparently. The song before that is called Summer Rain, so I guess he was kind of kicking back to hoping for the rain to come. That's Michael Costello, and Julie Adams is the partner, and they have been right here on Coast Community Radio, and they are making music all over the place. So tonight, they will be at the Manzanita Music Festival at 6:30 p.m., and as I say, you'll get more information on that in a bit. Oh, interesting. It's a good thing I got here, because there is a traffic delay on Route 30, milepost 84 between Swenson and Napa. One lane open due to wildfire in area. That's scary. Okay, well, we'll keep you updated, and hopefully that will be taken care of immediately. Ooh, okay. Well, yeah, we like the sun, we love the rain, and we love the arts, and that's why my first guest is here, Dawn Frank, who is a photographer supreme, and he is also the president of the Arts Council of Clatsop County, of which, for full disclosure, I'm also a member. Okay, got it out of the way now. And Dawn is here to inform us, or inform our audience, inform the world, how important the arts are. Well, y'all know that, or you wouldn't be listening, but here's what you may not know, and this is the part that we're excited to bring you. That the arts is not only important for your well-being and creativity and problem-solving and joy. It's also good for the pocketbook. So, welcome, Dawn.
Hi, Carol.
Hey. So, Americans for the Arts did a study, or put together a study, the 2016 Arts and Economic Prosperity 5. Study. Do you know what does that mean, five? Have they done others?
Yeah, five represents, this is the fifth survey that they did. So
it's a 3 year
study? It's a 3 year process. And so in 2015, the Arts Council of Clatsop County, which is an advisory board to the county commissioners, partnered with the Oregon Arts Commission to begin to implement this survey. And so that was all the paperwork and everything was set up in 2015. And then for all of 2016, the members of the Arts Council and other volunteers conducted surveys throughout the county for an entire year. And then those were turned over to the Americans for the Arts, who did their magic and presented us with a study that we just received and published last month.
Okay, now, a lot of the people in the audience who live in this area, I'm sure, were part of this survey. So can you just give a little background on where that was, how it was, what it was? So
sure.
They say, hey, I that was me.
You know, there are probably people listening that were approached by various team members of ours and asked to fill out a survey. And to be honest, almost everybody that we asked was very friendly and eager to participate, because I think by attending an arts event, they realize the value of that. And so those people and also the nonprofit organizations throughout the county provided information, which went into the final report.
Right. And the surveys were done in various venues, theaters, art galleries.
Yes, music, dance, productions, obviously visual arts, and those kinds of things, where there was an audience. That's right. Kind of the key.
Right, right. And the you said the magic word in there. You said the nonprofit organizations. So that's, I think, important to, for everybody to understand. This was dealing with nonprofit organizations in our area. And
yes, that is correct. There are a lot of for-profit arts-related businesses. You mentioned Dots and Doodles earlier, for example.
Our sponsor.
Right. And those organizations and companies actually are not included in this survey. And so the results are nonprofit-based, obviously. But that is only just a part of the picture.
So what did this, what was the idea of the survey? What were they trying to find out?
Generally, the Americans for the Arts wanted to put a dollar figure on the arts. And what they ultimately came up with was in 2016, the nonprofit arts events generated $13.7 million in money for the county.
In Clatsop County. This is just Clatsop County.
Just Clatsop County.
This study was done in other parts of Oregon as well.
That is correct. There were lots of other communities, for example, Portland, Eugene, Joseph Enterprise.
Oh, wow.
You know, yeah. So all over.
Small and large.
Right, correct. Right. And so we were kind of the metrics that they came up with. Not surprisingly, the arts in Clatsop County has a bigger impact than other communities its size.
Because this is such an artsy.
It's very artsy.
Yeah.
Artsy.
And we love it.
You know, and what I like about this survey is, as an artist, as someone who's been in the arts, I know that the arts has value. But to actually have it in numbers for maybe some other people, especially some of our leadership and decision makers, I think there's it's knowledge and useful information, you know, basically that art means business.
Yeah. And, you know, it's ironic because for some people it's like, don't mix the two. On the other hand, they're already mixed, and part of the concept is that artists are able to earn a living, and not only that, but generate business for others.
That is correct. There are artists, obviously, who are making a living or contributing, but in Clatsop County last year, there were 359 full-time equivalent jobs that were created from these organizations and the events. Now, that's not the jobs that are at these venues. These are the jobs which are in the grocery stores, at the gas stations, at the restaurants, at the hotels, that are supporting that amount of people and that amount of money that is spent and generated each year.
Right, because some of the questions were very specific. You're here at the theater. Are you staying in town? How much money did you spend on overnight for dinner? How far did you drive? All this kind of stuff. Would you have come to this community if it were not for this event? Which I found to be a very interesting. Well, the answers were very interesting because some people said, no, I might have gone to another community that had a similar event. So that tells us right off the bat that the arts draws humans and money to the community. And for those, as you say, who need to know that this is economically viable, this national study definitely did the trick. We had no idea what was going to come out of this. We know what we think, but we had no idea. So,
yeah, Carol, you're right. We had an idea, and we could know in our hearts that there's something to this. But you know, even when we asked when this study came out, my question was: is 13.7 million a lot?
Right.
I mean,
right.
I, you know,
relative to what?
Relative to what exactly? Right. And we were just glad to find out that it was significant enough that it put us in a higher, you know, we were more supportive of the arts in that way than a lot of communities our size.
Right. So how does this, what happens to this information?
Well, that is a good question. This is one of the first opportunities for us to express the results, you know, and explain what is happening. You know, the Coast Weekend ran a little feature last week, and now we're on KMUN today. And then the next phase will be the members of the Arts Council will be presenting the study in probably a finely tuned PowerPoint program to the county commissioners, obviously, first, and then also the city councils throughout the area, Astoria, Warrenton, Seaside, Cannon Beach, Gearhart, and also probably Chambers of Commerce and other organizations like Rotary and those kinds of things.
And, of course, to the organization, the arts, nonprofit arts organizations that took part in it. Something you just said,
we are
have to interrupt you when I have thoughts. So
yeah,
ahead.
Just let me
go
know. I believe it's August 21st is the Arts Council meets regularly once a month, actually in various locations throughout the county. And we are going to invite all of the nonprofit organizations that did participate to our meeting next month, which will be in Astoria, and then also to our meetings, which will be in Seaside and Cannon Beach the following months. And we'll let everybody know about that, but we're going to invite them and the public to attend and then be and hear our results and be able to ask any questions and provide input too, of course.
And I'm sure that we missed some nonprofit organizations as well, because it was dependent on us to find these groups and for the groups to respond. I think we had 22 organizations involved from the entire county. Who are the other folks on the Arts Council?
Well, besides the two of us, we have Harold Gable from Gearhart. We have Drea Rose Frost from Seaside. We also have Dwight Caswell, David Ambrose,
Allison
Tiger from Astoria. Robin Risley represents Cannon Beach. And Rick Crawford is Astoria.
Astoria also.
And
so we have Cannon Beach to Brownsmead, basically, and a lot in Seaside, Gearhart, and Astoria.
And we also, I would just like to also note that Teresa Durse, who works for the county, is a huge, huge part of this. And Sarah Nebaker, the commissioner, has been the one who probably really got this whole thing started. So the Arts Council goal was to find a project and bring some information to the county, and I think we've really accomplished that. Let's not forget the real value of art, you know, why we do it, which is foster beauty, creativity, originality, vitality, problem solving, conversation, all of those things. You know, that this doesn't say the study does not say that stuff is not important and the most valuable part.
Yeah.
It's just another aspect of something that we all love and have a huge place in our lives is good for the community.
It's good for the economy of the community. Yeah, absolutely. And if folks want to either learn more about it, come to one of the gatherings, maybe even get involved, how do they do that? What's the best way to connect?
The best way to do that would be to, you can go to the county website, which I believe is co.clatsop.or.us or something like that. You can Google it. And then on the Clatsop County webpage is a link to the Arts Council of Clatsop County. And then on there is the both the small, the short, and the long report. Mm-hmm. And for those that are, you know, interested, the long report is fascinating. I've read it.
Oh, my. You're a brave man. Right. I'll stick to the short form.
Gotcha.
But so meanwhile, I'm talking to Don Frank, who himself is a, I almost said practicing, but I'll say professional photographer. Is that what you do as your life work?
Yes. I have my own business. It's creatively named Don Frank Photography. easy to remember. And I'm an artist. I am actually putting together a show for Imogen Gallery next year.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing that I've been doing the art for, you know, decades now. But my business is really in commercial photography, photographing mm-hmm. for clients, including magazines, travel organizations, hotels, families, that kind of stuff.
So there was a time, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, some people still feel this way, photography was not considered an art form or a visual arts. Is that? I mean, I don't agree at all, since obviously that's one of my passions mm-hmm. as well. But how would you compare or not need to compare what the inspiration in photography is? Like you said, you've been doing it for a very long time. Why? How'd you start?
Well, I had a camera as a child, and I took pictures of Mount Rushmore and my golden retriever.
okay.
But actually, when I graduated from high school, my dad asked me what I wanted for a gift, and I said a motorcycle or a camera. Okay, so he's a smart man.
That was easy.
Right, and so I then actually went to college up in Tacoma, University mm-hmm. of Puget Sound, and there was a flyer for photographers needed for the newspaper.
Oh.
And so I went, and I was actually the only one who showed up.
Great.
And so they said, you're the photo editor. Because I did have some darkroom experience and, mm-hmm. and whatnot. But ever since then, it was just kind of a hobby. And then approximately 25 years ago, I kind of asked myself, what do I want to do with my life? And I said, photography, that sounds fun. And so I went for it. And it's been a great mm-hmm. ride. It's really taken me all over the world.
Yeah.
And introduced me to many people. And I feel like I've learned very much as a person and, you know, as a businessman and as an artist.
Great.
It's been great.
Okay. Well, this is the Astoria, the Arts Council of Clatsop County and the Americans for the Arts 2016 Arts and Economic Prosperity 5 Study. Telling everybody the arts and culture bring in millions in household income and businesses, and supports hundreds of jobs in the community, as well as all the wonders that we hear about week after week in personal stories and Don's just now, and for the community. So thank you, Don. Thanks so much for putting it together and for being our fearless leader. And again, August 21st, if you live in the Astoria area, and that reaches to East County as well. We don't have quite the venues in East County, but we'll be having future gatherings in Seaside and in Cannon Beach. Anyone can come to any one of them, but check it out, and please do join us. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay. And if you were a part of that during last year with people coming at you with clipboards and surveys, now you can understand the bigger picture. Thanks for being part. I have a song from our good friends, the Brownsmead Flats, and they are going to be playing tomorrow evening. It's the Waikiki Beach series at Cape Disappointment State Park at 7 o'clock, and you can hear them live there. And for now, catch them here. Thanks for being at Coast Community Radio.
It isn't very far to Astoria's bar, but a very long journey it can be. It can start at the mouth of a mighty blue river and end at the bottom of the sea. And the river still shines and shimmers in the light as it did in our grandfather's day, when they rowed all night to fish in the morning and lived in Willapa Bay. When the tide is rough, so very, very rough, so rough that you cannot stand, it drives the little fish right into the nets and the boats right into the sand. And the river still shines and shimmers in the light as it did in our grandfather's day, when they rowed all night to fish in the morning and lived in Willapa Bay.
In the mist and the rain, with our labor and our pain, we know what the fishing here is worth. It is worth more than gold
when we fill our hold.
It is one of the treasures of the earth.
And the river still shines and shimmers in the light as it did in our grandfather's day, when they rowed all night to fish in the morning and lived in Willapa Bay.
It isn't very far to Astoria's bar, but a very long journey it can be. It can start at the mouth of a mighty blue river and end at the bottom of the sea.
And the river still shines and shimmers in the light as it did in our grandfather's day, when they rowed all night to fish in the morning and lived in Willapa Bay. And the river still shines and shimmers in the light as it did in our grandfather's day, when they rowed all night to fish in the morning and lived in Willapa Bay.
The Brownsmead Flats. And that is a song by Mary Garvey, our good friend, who sings and writes wonderful songs about the area, about historical things, and is very involved with the Fisher Poets Gathering as well. So that particular song, of course, caught the attention of several local groups. Astoria's Bar by Mary Garvey, sung by the Brownsmead Flats on their Strings and Yarns album. And they will, again, be at the Cape Disappointment, I hate to say that, Waikiki Beach, tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. And now I have a couple of thespians in the room. What would the show be like without thespians? Especially one of them who... Oh! She's back. It's Sheila Schaefer. It's good you have such a cool name, Shasha, so that it's kind of fun to say. And by the way, I haven't not gotten an update. So as far as I know, Route 30 is still one lane open between Swenson and Napa due to wildfire in the area. But we'll see if we can get a check for the next mic break. So this is the and the other person, is Marcus Brown. He is no newcomer here either. No virgins in this room at, well, not radio virgins, anyway.
We'll never tell.
The beauty of theater. So they are here. Marcus is the production chair and marketing manager of the Astor Street Opry Company. Do you work with any other theater companies, or are you easy to frame?
I'm flexible once in a while. Directors, goodly enough to think of me when they're casting, sometimes invite me down in a pinch. I try to get around as much as I can.
Okay. But your main gig is the Astor Street Opry Company.
Oh, indeed.
Which is running right now. Shanghaied in Astoria. That's the first time I've gotten to sing it on the air.
You're
this
cast.
Year.
Are you available tonight?
My foot should be cast. I practically... Anyway, the Shanghaied in Astoria is running Thursdays through Saturdays at 7 p.m. And in August, there'll be a couple of Sundays as well. Sheila Schaefer is all over the place in theater, a lot at the Coaster Theater, mostly. Is that right?
Mostly,
In the past, at least.
I've been trying to do more stuff here since I live here.
Yes, which nobody knew because you were
doing so much
Cannon Beach all the time. But this is, I believe, am I right, your first time directing at the Astor Street Opera Company?
Yes.
That's pretty exciting. And I'll let either one of you tell me how that came about.
Well, we finally saved up enough money. No, I kid. It comes down to scheduling all too often. Mm-hmm. I've spoke to Sheila on a number of occasions trying to dream up, you know, special projects that she would like to have the opportunity to head or mount, as it were, that the time and calendar space may not be available down south or in other venues. And she acquiesced to my begging. She has come up with an unbelievable script, and this production is going to be something else.
So, Sheila, you got to choose the script?
Yes, I did, which was lovely.
Which doesn't happen in every theater.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. So that's pretty exciting. So why don't you tell us about this play that you have chosen to direct.
Well, it's The Birds. It's by Connor McPherson, who also wrote The Seafarer, which was done at Peer Pressure a few years back as well. So he's an Irish playwright. He based it off of a short story by Daphne du Maurier, which Hitchcock based his movie on, and then he Hollywoodized it. This was actually written in 2009, so it was a relatively new script. It was first done 2009 in Ireland and 2012, first time at the Guthrie Theater in Minneapolis.
Where was Daphne du Maurier from?
I believe since she's du Maurier, it sounds French to me.
It does sound French, but I just wondered why he picked that up. And do you know when the story was written, and also when Hitchcock did his film.
Well, Hitchcock did the film in the 50s.
Is that it?
And I'm not sure when she wrote the short story. Mm-hmm. I probably should look that up. But I'm assuming it was before that.
Yeah. That would be good. It's interesting, though, that a short story can and often does become the core for and yet sometimes you can barely recognize it.
Yes.
So tell us about this, The Birds, and why you chose it. And then, let's tell folks right up front. Sheila and Marcus are here today because they are having auditions for The Birds on the 24th and 25th, which is Monday and Tuesday at 6 p.m. at the Astor Street Opry Playhouse. Okay, now tell us why you chose The Birds, and you can give us a synopsis or whatever, however you want.
Well, I was looking for something that was appropriate for the season, and since it opens October 6th and runs through the 21st, so it's right before Halloween. I also was looking for something a little bit more intimate. There's only four characters in the show. There's two men and two women. Two men that are middle-aged, one woman who is middle-aged, and one younger woman, 20s, 30s. And it's basically about something happened with the birds where they started attacking humans and mammals. They're seeking refuge, the two main characters, Nat and Diane, trying to seek refuge, running from their cars, find an abandoned farmhouse. They don't know what's going on. It opens with the radio announcers trying to tell where where you can get relief, help, food, whatever is going on, and the other person going, no, that's probably not a good place to go. And then they lose all communication. The birds basically shut down everything. So it's an apocalyptic play. And what happens is the social mores and societal boundaries have collapsed. And people are running amok out there, and the people in this farmhouse are trying to hold on and preserve what they have lived by. And it just doesn't really apply anymore because of survival. So the birds go out with the tide every 6 hours so they can run and scavenge. And
That's considerate.
Yeah, that was nice of them to do that. But
and we don't have an ending on this because some of us have actually never seen this or read it.
No, that's correct. And it's not the movie, so don't expect Hitchcock.
There will be birds,
though. Oh, yes. There will be live sound effects, recorded sound effects. There's going
to
be.
Are you going to release the birds into the theater?
I try to talk her into letting me dress up like a gigantic seagull and fly. Lap around.
Yeah, didn't work.
No. Maybe with the billboard out on the street.
Yeah, you can. In October. That sounds good.
I'm in.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So, again, you're looking for two men and two women. And how strict are the ages on that?
Well, the younger woman has to be in her 20s and 30s. You know, that's flexible. She could be younger. She could be maybe slightly older, but yeah, she needs to be younger. She needs to be of childbearing years.
Okay.
And the other woman is a large part and lots of lines, but she's middle-aged. She's probably in her 40s to 50s. She could eek, you know, into her 60s a bit too. The men are the same way. So, yeah.
Oh, is one of the men younger?
No.
Both of the men are.
Both of the men are middle-aged.
Middle-aged, whatever that word means.
40s to, I would say anywhere between 40 and 60.
Okay. Now, what was the last play you were either in or directed, Sheila?
Well, I'm currently in Steel Magnolias out at the Coaster Theater. I'm Malin Eatonton in that, and that runs until September 2nd.
So you're on stage tonight?
No, tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow.
I was on stage last night and tomorrow night.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And I...
Rep Theater.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wrote the wrong reps down here. So the other play at the Coaster is Clue the Musical.
Yes.
So how does that work for you? Do you like the this rep theater where you skip days and you have time to recover, or do you like to? Because this goes all summer.
Because it runs for basically 2.5 months. There's a total of 23 performances. I like the every other day, so I can. Especially my role is a little dramatic, and I like a little recoup time.
Just when you're feeling better, you go back into the theater. So, and that is at the Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then the theater's dark on Monday. Is that right?
During July, it runs Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday with no Sunday matinees. And starting in August, we have some matinees, yes.
Okay.
So we only have one matinee for Steel Magnolias in the middle of August. I believe that's the 13th.
I think your best bet, folks, is to go to coastertheater.com. And that's R-E, coastertheater.com, because I went there. And I still got the wrong dates. So you need to go there and study it, you know, and see. Or just take your luck, because you'll be fine. But you will see Sheila. Don't ask if you can audition when she's on stage, because that's a different life.
I'll be a little
busy. A little bit different life.
You won't like the answer.
How does it compare for you, the acting and directing?
You know, people always ask me that. And to me, it's apples and oranges. Directing, to me, I love having the entire vision. And I usually do the sets myself and help design the costumes. And I'm just into the whole thing. But then all I want to do sometimes is just be an actor and learn my line and learn my blocking and not have to worry about all the other stuff.
Yeah.
So, and I love both of them. So it just depends on what's going on at the time and my motivation level as far as learning lines sometimes, too.
So. I'm figuring that in order you would only either direct or be in a play if you had a feeling for the piece.
Yeah.
You would not do. How about you, Marcus? You've done both directing and acting, too.
I think my druthers is to direct. As Sheila said, there's just something really magical when you can be part of the whole process in a collaborative way. And that shared vision is wonderful. It's wonderful. I really enjoy that.
Neat. So, folks, check this out. Again, this Monday and Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure I got my dates right now. At 6 p.m. at the Astor Street Opry Playhouse, which is 129 West
Bond Street.
Bond Street. I almost said Broadway, and I said, what town am I in?
And now we have permanent indoor bathrooms.
Hallelujah.
And they're really nice.
They are nice.
You know, people listening on the other side of the world might be going, excuse me, you talk about your bathrooms on the air. We do.
Right.
We do.
And actually, you have three bathrooms.
Right. We have three bathrooms. I directed this season of Shanghai, and folks seem to be more excited about the bathrooms rather than the show I was producing. I don't take any insult to it.
No,
the bathrooms are pretty extraordinary.
And it's the first time in... How long have you been
nine
years in that place with porta-potties?
That's a long stretch.
Folks, you can see why we're excited about the indoor plumbing.
Plus, there's other improvements being done to the building as we speak.
It's a lovely building. So, so if you're anywhere nearby or want to come nearby, go on the web. Or just come on over to the Astor Street Opry. There should be for Shanghai and new bathrooms. That should be any night.
Mm-hmm.
And for the auditions, Monday and Tuesday at 6 p.m. The Birds, adapted by Connor McPherson from a short story by Daphne du Maurier and directed by my guest, Sheila Schaefer. Thank you so much, both of you, for coming in, Sheila and Marcus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Sheila gets to break a leg now. You're directing. You don't do that. So. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And now I have what I mentioned is I have an interview for you that Peter Newman did with the organizers of the Manzanita Music Festival. And it's getting close, folks. It starts this evening at the Rex Champ Ball Field. This is all in Manzanita, but there are two different venues, the Rex Champ Ball Field and downtown Manzanita. You won't get lost, I promise you. Just ditch the car and find them. 5 o'clock is Scratch Dog String Band, which is a great group. And then at 6:30 is Adams and Costello, Will West and the Friendly Strangers at 7:30, and the Paul Chesney Band at 9 p.m. And let's let you find out a little bit about this Manzanita Music Festival right here on Coast Community Radio. Thanks for being here.
We are talking today with some of the organizers of the festival, the director, Beth Carter-Boyer, and co-founder, Rich Silverman. If it's not the core mission of the festival, it's certainly close to the heart of the festival, and that's about families and just trying to bring people together, isn't it?
Yeah, well, music is a connector. It breaks through race, religion, political beliefs, and unites people. And helps also build a sense of community. And part of our mission is to give back to our community in a healthy, positive, and constructive fashion. So that was a lot of the core motivation for starting Beth's founding this festival in the beginning. And we're hoping to continue to cultivate that.
That's right. That's right.
And Beth, it's for you. It's a deeply personal mission.
It is. I lost my oldest son 2 years ago, suddenly. However, he had struggled for probably 2 years before that with emotional and drug-related issues, and as a result was very isolated from his friends, his family, and music throughout that time was the only thing that I know gave him any peace. He had some very serious situations that he was in, very life-threatening, and they were life-threatening and scary to all of us. After losing him, music was something that healed me. And this community right here stepped up and healed me as well. So it's just by working on this, I keep his spirit alive and hope that we can impact other people in a positive way so that when they're isolated or lonely or going through things, that they know that they can access music.
Well, so with the festival, you either families here or families visiting the area who are going to be attending the festival, what can they expect as part of the family component?
Well, for one thing, it's all family friendly. So that means that, I mean, what we've done is taken our Manzanita venue. It's a smaller venue, but that's a very, there are a lot of families and multi-generations of families that vacation during the summer. It's an open area with a kids zone, with amazing music. The parents or grandparents can have a beer or a glass of wine, watch the kids dance. You know, it's just laid out well. And then in the evenings, we are doing evening concerts at our new venue in Nehalem at Rex Champ Field, which will provide an area for us to have a larger stage and bring in a larger production. But that's also, children can come to that as well. Probably you'd want to leave the younger children into the daytime area, but if you want to bring a baby at night, that's fine. Everyone's welcome. And there's just more room at the field to run and play and to sit down with your in a chair or on your blanket and enjoy the community.
And this year, as was the case last year, the Kids Zone is being run by the NCRD Kids Program. Last year, there were kid drumming lessons, kids yoga, Tai Chi, a wide range of kids activities. Mm-hmm. This year, one of our add-ons to the festival that I'm very excited about, a coworker of mine does pantomime and also does, he's a sort of a clown and does balloon animals. So he's going to be circulating through the crowd doing mime and doing these balloon animals for the kids. And I think that's going to be a very positive
addition.
Well, and
it'll be experiential for everyone because that's the whole, last year we just weren't able to get to all the pieces because we're in the process of building it. But really it's about the whole experience and having just a very engaging, wonderful time while you're here. For example, the art piece. That was always a plan for me and a hope. For the high school, Neocony School District has been very supportive. We have high school students who have, as a final exam this year, painted panels that are absolutely beautiful that they created for the festival that will be displayed. We also have some younger children, preschoolers that are painting panels. We have students from the University of Oregon that are involved in this, doing crafts, painting amazing things, creating things, and that will continue to evolve. It's sort of limitless.
You started a new venue. Yeah, boy, it's one thing to move into a venue and call it your own. It's another thing to actually kind of create the venue, which is in effect what you did, right?
Well, I think we were a catalyst in making it happen. The Rex Champ Ball Field has been used for decades here, and many people that still live here grew up hitting their first home run on that field. But for at least the past 15 years, it's been completely neglected, and the kids that are here, it wasn't a very inviting place to play on. So with the huge energy of the new executive director of at NCRD, David Wigan, he made it happen. NCRD, we consulted with them and brought in our partners and production people from the Waterfront Blues Fest in Portland to help him understand what it would take to make the field a multi-use year-round venue for concerts, for youth sports, for any community activity that it could be used for. And so David just went with the recommendations, and it's just been amazing. The field's transformed. The first time I saw the kids playing over there, it was just a whole different thing. It's like they had a beautiful stage to play baseball on.
How did the two of you collectively, individually decided, I guess, the audacity of starting a festival?
Well, I just blame it on the fact I'm from Texas, and I'm not afraid of anything, I guess. But it's a large undertaking. I did do research, and I have some experience in corporate events, and I love music. Plus, motivated by my own personal loss that was very difficult to make sense of. So something immensely powerful that I could project out was sort of the only thing I could do.
Music has been a huge part of my life, both personally and professionally. I'm a healthcare practitioner and a very ardent supporter of the healing power of music and music therapy. So that I know from a professional healing perspective is an important part of our culture. And personally, I've experienced that in my own life, is the healing power of music. Well, I moved to this area about 2 years ago, and I was working out at the NCRD gym one morning, and one of the fellows says, "Oh, there's a music festival coming to town." So I immediately said, "Who's putting it on?" They gave me Beth's phone number, and we had a meeting.
Yep.
And I was sold at Hello. And there was another person there, and he said, "Well, how much are you going to want to provide this?" I go, "I don't want a damn penny." I'm just happy to, yeah. And so that's kind of how it
yeah,
started.
Yeah, that's the right attitude. And honestly, the people who have put this together, it may be a newborn festival, but the range of expertise and the years and years of experience of the people that are actually doing it is incredible.
It really is pretty amazing. But to me, you know, as a 2-year resident of this community, I'm always taken aback by the incredible talent
right.
that this community has. I mean, people from all different walks of life and different talents, and this festival is sort of another manifestation of that diversity
Absolutely.
Of talent. We've got people that have unbelievable credentials
Yes.
in regards to putting on a festival like this. And again, to me, it's just sort of representative of the community at large.
Tickets available?
Tickets are available, and Ticket Tomato as well.
And again, our schedule, Friday night, Rex Champ Field, gates open at 5. Music's going to run from approximately 7 to 11. Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., 220 Lanita. Our location is kind of right behind the Lost Coast Burrito. And then
downtown
Saturday
Denver.
Night, again, back at Rex Champ Field, 5 to 11. And then Sunday, 11 to 5, back on Lanita in downtown Manzanita.
Going to be great fun. Thanks to both of
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Have a blast. We all will. Party.
Yes,
know.
Yes, we're going to have fun.
We're trying to get everything done in advance so we can do that. You know what, the team of people, that's the only thing that I really would like to, didn't get to say, you know, that we didn't get to. But our core team, Karen McCarty, Bill Phillips, Rich, Ton Cagle, and Jay Vogel, you know, these are the people that are at the core guiding it. And it's an amazing group of people.
Going to be fun. Thank you. And again, the website, one last time in case...
ManzanitaMusicFestival.org.
Easy.
Easy, easy. And thank you so much to Peter Newman, host of Neocony View right here on Coast Community Radio once a month. And he hosted them on June 26th. And today's the festival, so they couldn't come in. So Peter made it really easy for me. He excerpted, that piece. And you can find that along with all the other, lot of other programs on our podcast. Go to the website, listen and podcast. And today, because it's a special day, I want to remind you about Radio Free America, where you can hear all the music shows, too. And those are only on, the podcast stays on. But the music shows are only on for 2 weeks on this Radio Free America. So you go to coastradio.org, click on archives on the listen menu. And then you find the show you want, whatever it may be. Let me just give you a little bit of the schedule for the Manzanita Music Festival again today at the Rex Champ Ball Field. Oh, and thanks to his guests, Beth Carter Boyer and co-founder Rick Silverman. At the Rex Champ Ball Field, 5 o'clock, Scratch Dog String Band. There's a welcoming opening at 6. 7:30 is Will West and the Friendly Strangers. 9 o'clock, Paul Chesney Band. Tomorrow, starting at 11, the Sedona Fire Band, one of our favorite locals. Rhythm Method, another, 12 p.m. Tony Smiley at 1, Leslie Mendelson at 2:15, Kate and the Crocodiles at 3:30. Holy moly. And then the music takes a break for 1 hour. Either that or Kate's going to play for 2 hours. And no, because it moves from downtown Manzanita, where it is Saturday morning, to Rex Champ Ball Field, Crackpot Babies, Rain Walkers, The Early Stuff, Leslie Mendelson and Paul Chesney, and Strange Tones. And then on Sunday, back in Manzanita, wonderful Lauren Sheehan at 11, Blue Jug, Jazz Attitude, Countryside Ride, Lauren Sheehan again at 3, and Patrick Lamb at 4 finishes them off. What a delight. Another music festival in our area. And speaking of our area, if you like theater, oh, by the way, you are listening to the group that's playing at the Southwester next week. So I'm going to bring them down and let you know that there is theater, theater, theater. The Coaster, you just heard about, Steel Magnolias and Clue, Astor Street Opry Company is Shanghaied. At the North Coast Rick, North County Recreation District in Nehalem is Doubt, a Parable, Friday and Saturday at 7 and Sunday at 2. Very powerful and fine production. Papa, for a wonderful musical, She Loves Me, that is through August 6th at the Fort Columbia Theater in Chinook. Tapa, that's the Tillamook Theater at the Playhouse, the Barn Community Playhouse, To Kill a Mockingbird. Tonight, there's a special at the Astoria Arts and Movement Center Afro-Carib Dance Workshop with Kimberly Miguel Mullen and live drums led by Jesse Burdine. That's 6 to 8 tonight. Should be fabulous. Quilt and Fiber Show is happening till 5 tonight and then tomorrow from 3 to 5. Tomorrow, Tokeland Wood and Art Festival at the hotel. That's Saturday and Sunday. Imogen Gallery is featuring a jewelry trunk show for designer Erica Loriano from 2 to 5. Canopy Charts Association at 6 o'clock, their 30th anniversary. The Browns Meet Flats at Waikiki Beach tomorrow night at 7 in Cape Disappointment State Park. Portland Bands at the Maritime Tavern in Astoria at 9:30, and the Big O has Countryside Ride, and Thursday they have author Rick Steves, and not Rick Steves, and Peninsula Playhouse, Peninsula Performing Arts Center Saturday night. Wonderful. Elizabeth Nicholson and Bob Soper with protest songs through the ages, Celtic harp, fiddle, and bouzouki. And then, of course, there's Tango in Astoria at the AAMC on Saturday. Tolovana Arts Colony has a free concert in the park on Sunday, Possessed by Paul James. He was acclaimed by the New York Times. And the Astoria Armory Skate Park, 9 o'clock, has 8 bands. And it goes on and on. Thanks for being here, folks. KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook.